The following program is paid for by CHI Mercy Health Mercy Medical Center. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Each weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, Talking Health, presented by CHI Mercy Health. Now, here's Talking Health with Lisa Platt on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome to Talking Health, and yes, I am your host, Lisa Platt. Today, with us in the studio, we have Brian Lake, who is the executive director for the Boys and Girls Club. Later in the show, Marion Pearson, a.k.a. Katowski, is going to join us as a new report has been published over the weekend about human trafficking in Oregon. But right now, we're talking with Brian, and Brian, it's nice to meet you, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
So, Brian, we always like to get to know our guests, so you're going to be like everyone else. We want to get to know Brian Lake and how he came to Roseburg and why the Boys and Girls Club.
Well, thank you. I actually grew up in Southern California in Orange County, Cypress. I worked at a Boys and Girls Club in Los Angeles for about 14 years. I was the director of administration and the interim executive director. And the opportunity came to come here, and so I jumped on it, and that was just over 3 years ago. So love it here. It's beautiful, and, you know, despite the rain, it's lovely. You know, where I was at, it was mostly desert, so I like having some moisture here.
Great. Well, welcome, and I know I'm late in saying welcome to Roseburg, but, you know, 3 years. Hi, Brian. It's nice to finally meet you. I think the one time we were supposed to meet, for whatever reason, one of us had to cancel.
Oh, sorry about that.
No worries. It was probably me. So, as the executive director at the Boys and Girls Club, tell us what you do.
Well, I'm responsible for everything. You know, I take the hits if something goes wrong, and I share the success if, you know, we have some positive things there. But I'm responsible for the financial health of the organization, for the organizational efficiencies, you know, in the programs that are being run. I just make sure that everything's working properly and that these kids are having a very meaningful time at the club and that they're enjoying themselves. And we want to make sure, too, that those that donate to the club, that those dollars are being used wisely and responsibly. And, you know, I view these dollars as almost sacred. You know, I don't want to waste a donor's dollar for frivolous purchases or expenses at the club. So that's just kind of my feeling and kind of my responsibility to just make sure we are operating most efficiently and most ethically as possible.
Terrific. So as a national organization, tell folks exactly what the mission is of Boys and Girls Club and then, you know, what the mission is of our local chapter.
Well, generally, the national organization, some people think of the Boys and Girls Club as like a franchise, and it's not. It's actually a federated model. So all the clubs, kind of dictate what the national organization does or how they govern. And so our mission is to inspire all young people, especially those who need us most, to reach their full potential as productive, caring, and responsible citizens. Here in Roseburg, we've added another goal to that mission, and we call it our moonshot goal. We had a workshop a couple of years ago, and they try to inspire us to set goals that are 10 years plus down the road. And so we created a moonshot goal that every child in Douglas County will have a safe and positive place to go after school and in the summer. And notice I didn't say the club. It's got to be a club. No, it doesn't. It just means that we will help other agencies or organizations or clubs in the county try and be successful in making sure that all the kids have somewhere to go and to do something positive.
So with that said, you've got to have quite a few folks employed, I would assume. And then what are some of their roles?
So I have around 35 to 37 employees. Sometimes it's seasonal and it might be more or less, but I've got roughly 7 full-time staff, and the rest are part-time. So when school is out around 2:30, we have the middle schools and the high schools coming. And the great thing about the club here in Roseburg is the partnership that we have with the Roseburg School District. It is incredible. It was one of the things that drew me to Roseburg. Every school in the district has a bus that will drop off at the club. And that's amazing because, in contrast, my old place, we had to charge families $225 a month to send a van to the school to pick up the kid to bring them to the club. So having the school in such a fantastic partnership is just amazing. And so we'll see anywhere from 350 to 400 kids a day. And here's the miracle of the Boys and Girls Club. Every day, a kid goes through the doors and they get a need met. Now, that need may be to get some help with their homework, or it may be to hook up with their best friend, or it may be to talk with an adult about a challenge they're facing, or it may be to get a meal. And we do serve a meal after school. And so that's kind of the miracle that I see the club, that we try to meet the needs of all the kids, and those needs change on a daily basis. You know, a kid may come in, I need to practice my free throws, you know, so they'll run to the gym to shoot those. So it's, you know, it's just an exciting place. Some people may come in and they may not be ready for all the kids there and the sensory overload, but it's just fascinating. And then around 3:30, 3:45, then the elementary school kids come in to the program, and it really makes it exciting. So we serve kids grades 2nd through 12th. And then we have a special program for first graders. We call it Junior Club. So we have it. It's a separate fee program. The general membership for Boys and Girls Club is $52 a year, which is a great bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And for those families that qualify for the free lunch or the reduced lunch, we have scholarship opportunities. So that fee can be cut. But for Junior Club, that is a separate program. We have a higher staff to child ratio. So we have more staff available, and we limit it to 35. So we have 3 staff in there just for the first graders. And it really is great because it gives them a little bit more structure, but a little less structure from daycare. And it helps them learn how to integrate and socialize in with older kids and prepares them. Last year, at the end of the school year, we had a little graduation ceremony for the junior club members. And it was great because outside the room, all the other club members got together and they created their arches with their hands and arms there. And these kids marched through with the pomp and circumstance. And they were able to then go right in and play in the activity center, go into the gym, and just have a great time. So we try to have programs for all ages. But to answer the question, first grade through 12th grade, although there are limited spots for the first graders.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So my next question on top of that
is,
you mentioned the school district, and so we're talking the Roseburg School District.
Correct. The Roseburg Public School District.
So do you have any satellite sites that folks could get their kiddos into?
Well, here's what we're working on. Here's what we've done. Here's what we're working on. We have a program for middle school kids called Be Great by 8th, and it's really designed for 6th through 8th graders to prepare them for high school and to be able to want to complete high school. As you know, Douglas County kind of has a low graduation rate for high school. So if we can catch them early in middle school and help them see the value of graduating high school, then that's great, and these kids are then empowered. So this program was started about 4 years ago, and it went really well. And so we've taken that program. We took it to Camas Valley. And our intention was the first year, okay, let's get 10 kids to go through the program. And I think we graduated 31 kids. I mean, it was amazing. And the school there was just so great and supportive. And we would program there twice a week, I believe. And when the sports started up, some of these kids were like, I can't come because I've got to go to practice. Can we change the day that we do this? And they said, well, can we do it on Friday? Well, CAMAS is a Monday through Thursday school, right? And so the school, bless them, they actually provided transportation for the kids, and they opened up the school for us to run that program there. So I absolutely love CAMAS Valley Charter School. I think they've been fantastic, and we've been with them every year. So we graduated 31 kids the first year, I think 24, 25 the second year, and we're a third year. I don't know what the number was, but we did it again, and we're looking to start it up again this year for them, for CAMAS Valley. We've also been to the Winston Teen Center, the community center in the teen room. We have run it there, and that's just a great place, great facility. Just love that place. We've tried to get into some other communities, and we're trying to work with those individuals to bring the program. Now, mainly we've brought Be Great by 8th to the outlying communities, and we're looking now and I don't want to get into particulars here, but we are looking at the possibility of bringing other Boys and Girls Club programs, STEM or STEAM programs, you know, the science, technology, mm-hmm. engineering, art, and math programs to these outlying areas too. So just stay tuned. I think it really fits towards our moonshot goal. And we want to get out there. And if a school contacts us and says, hey, we want you guys out here, we'll talk to them. We'll see what we can do. And that's kind of happening in some areas.
Fabulous. So we talk a lot about mentoring. And I know the Boys and Girls Club does a lot with mentoring. Just briefly, before we have to go to break, about your mentoring program.
You say briefly and you talk about mentoring.
We can always come back.
So you tell me when the break and then we'll come back.
But okay.
Mentoring, you know, I think kids are hungry for a good example, a successful individual. Now, success, I remember Earl Nightingale saying success is really the progressive realization of a worthy goal or ideal. Success doesn't have anything to do with money or fame or stature. It's about our goals being achieved. So I think the kids love and thrive on having individuals to mentor them that can help them set their own goals and then work towards realizing those. So yes, we have mentoring programs. We actually receive a grant from the federal government through the Office of Juvenile Justice Programs. OJP is what we call it in short. But we received $22,000 last year to mentor children. And so we try to do that. We try to teach them, you know, social skills, conflict resolution. How do they get out of a conflict? How do they resolve that? How do they interact with others? And so mentoring is just so important.
So, Brian, I think we'll come back, revisit that question. We have to take a short break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Talking Health on Local Talk at 4, brought to you by CHI Mercy Health, the News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hi, we are back with Talking Health. It's Lisa, and Talking Health is presented by CHI Mercy Health. Well, I got my friend in here, the other third leg of the tripod, and I guess they're testing me. So, Sarah, I understand we're having a mystery guest next week. You can jump on in this one right here if you like.
Yes, Lisa, we're keeping you on your toes.
Yes, so stay tuned for next week because it's going to be a mystery guest that joins us. But today we are talking with Brian Lake from the Boys and Girls Club, and he is sharing with us things that are going on around the organization. And we had stopped before the break. We were talking a little bit about mentoring. And Brian, do you want to say a few more words about the mentoring that the organization provides?
Sure. You know, what we're looking for in a mentor is someone that deeply cares about the young person, because a child knows when it's fake. And if it's fake, it's not going to go anywhere. And so when you do connect a child with a youth mentor, with a mentor that truly cares and loves that child, it is amazing what can be done and how that child has someone to talk to, someone that will listen and understand and not make judgments. We had a situation several years ago, different club, that a boy would come in, and at school he was called Mr. Johnson. Every time the teacher, Mr. Johnson, please take your seat. At home, he was called stupid. Hey, stupid, get out of the way of the television. Mm. But at the club, there was a gentleman, staff there by the name of Sal. Say, hey, Mike, how are you doing? Tell me about your day. And that little thing made all the difference. And it's so important. So mentoring is extremely important for us. And we believe that, you know, we've actually had a goal where all the staff get to know real well, you know, a large chunk of the kids at the club. And so we can make sure every child who attends the club has at least a couple staff that know about them personally, know them by name, know their desires, their strengths, their weaknesses, and what they're wanting in terms of, you know, help at the club. And it's great. Mentoring is just so important. I had an opportunity to mentor a young man. He wanted to learn magic, and I do magic on the side. So he would come into my office, and I'd teach him some tricks, and then he would practice and come back and show me what he did. He actually entered the club talent show, and he took second place and won a cash prize of $75. He was so thrilled. He wanted to give me $10 of that, you know. And it was just amazing to see him blossom through that experience. Mm-hmm. What was heartbreaking is when he was 19, graduated high school, he was in an accident and he passed away. Mm. And it was just heartbreaking to go to that funeral service. But there are so many opportunities for these young people to get the help that they need in school. Obviously, the teachers and the school systems have unique and very important ways of helping a child with their academics. But we have programs at the club now. They can come and get homework help. And we have a program called Power Hour. So they can go into this one area of the club, and they have access to computers if they need to do research. We have staff there. We'll have volunteers that will come in. Sometimes we'll have a volunteer that specializes in math that can help out with the math homework. And if there's a specialization that is needed, you know, we'll try and seek out and request someone to come in and help so we can help that individual there. So we have individuals that, you know, just maybe don't have that self-worth that we want to see in kids. And so we'll find ways to work with them to build that character, that, you know, through our leadership and character development programs, we can do that. For the teens, we have a teen development program called Keystone Club. Also, we just introduced T3, which stands for Training Teens for Tomorrow. So it's to help them, again, beyond the Be Great by 8th, it's to help them see and set goals for themselves after high school. So now they can go and say, well, you know what? I want to do this for a living. And it may not be college. It may be a really lucrative and fulfilling career in the trades. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to create opportunities where they can explore these different career paths and then make their own decisions. And we can help them along the way. I need to take a breath. Okay.
Well, thank you for all of the information about mentoring. And but now I want to talk about some of the programs that your organization offers. You've mentioned a few, but let's talk about some of the healthy lifestyles, character and citizenship, etc.
So in our healthy lifestyles program, we have a program called Triple Play, mind, body, and soul. So obviously, we want to have physical fitness as part of that, and so we want to keep the kids active. We have a beautiful gymnasium, a double gymnasium there at the club. So we have, you know, a lot of different activities that will take place there at the club in the gym. But we also have a garden program. We actually have in the backyard of the clubhouse this garden. And there have been days it has been so beautiful, thriving with corn and pumpkins and beans, green beans, strawberries, sunflowers. It's just been amazing. You know, we're not in the season right now for a full, beautiful garden, but, you know, we work towards that. And the kids get to work the garden. And we do something every month called pedal power. So we bring out our bike. We have two different bikes. One connects to a generator that we can then power a blender. The other bike actually is just a one-wheel bike that they pedal, and it powers a blender. We can have the kids pedal to make their own smoothies. And where we can have produce from our own garden to put in there, we do that. Otherwise, we'll supplement it with other strawberries or yogurt and stuff. Another thing we do is tasting tables. So there were times that we had a harvest in the garden of green beans. So the kids prepared them and made them available for all the kids at the club to taste. It's amazing to see kids taste, willingly taste, green beans, Brussels sprouts, all that sort of stuff. So it's pretty fascinating. And so that's part of the healthy lifestyles program that we do. The good character and citizenship, you know, again, the Keystone Club, T3, these are leadership and character development programs. We give them opportunities to do service projects, and they decide what they want to do, how they want to fulfill those activities. We have our Youth of the Year in our Youth of the Year program. So every year we honor and celebrate a youth that has been exceptional in their service to others and in how they are keeping up with their academics and all these other aspects in their lives. And so we then take that Youth of the Year up to Salem or Portland this year, and they'll compete with the other Boys and Girls Clubs. They win scholarship dollars, and then they can go on to compete regionally and then nationally if they advance. So it's really an exciting program for them there. You know, we have our art programs again, and we have our science, technology, engineering, art, and math. The other day in our clubhouse, we had staff that brought out little drones. And these were not drones that they controlled with a remote control. They had to program the drone on a laptop. And so these kids are learning programming skills that if I want the drone to go up this high, I need to program this code here. If I need it to turn left to circumvent this obstacle in the path that we created, we need to program this. Just exciting. And these kids are mesmerized by it. And like I said, they're hungry for these type of exciting programs and activities. And of course, we have our sports program, our Roseburg sports program. So we are just now starting into basketball. We do volleyball. We do lacrosse. We just started flag football. We just started a bowling league last fall that was really exciting. So there's lots to do. I hope people can get a sense that there is a lot to do. My suggestion, if you want to know about the club, come by, get a tour. There's no better marketing tool than to actually see the club.
So one question I forgot to ask you is, what's capacity for the number of kiddos that you can see or come to the club on a daily basis?
Well, capacity is a flexible number because right now, if I have 400 kids, I've got enough staff. If I add another 10 to 20 to 30 to 50, I need to hire additional staff. So, but in some cases, though, I may have 390 kids at the club, and it may seem chaotic, but sometimes that's only a half an hour problem because in a half an hour, you know, 10 of those kids are going to be picked up by parents and go home for the rest of the day. So capacity is kind of a moving target in some ways, but our goal, our priority is the safety of the kids. So if I find that we can't handle, then I've got to bring in more staff to make sure we can. And we do that fairly quickly. We're pretty responsive.
So with your athletic programs, you're doing league play, correct?
Correct.
So do they have to be kids that already belong to the Boys and Girls Club, or is this in addition to?
It's in addition. So if there are kids that want to play basketball, they can sign up. They don't have to be a member of the club. So it's great. It's a great opportunity. So I can look at my numbers and I can say, you know, I have 1,514 registered members at the club. But last year, I also served an additional 1,183 kids through different programs and activities.
Okay, great. Well, I think this is a good opportunity to take another short break. We've been listening to Talking Health on Local Talk at 4, brought to you by CHI Mercy Health on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hi, we are back with Talking Health, and we have been talking with Brian Lake from the Boys and Girls Club, but also joining us is Marion Pearson, a.k.a. Katowski, who will be joining us shortly to give us some updates on a human trafficking report that was published over the weekend. So, Marion, thanks for joining us on at this last minute. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
So, Brian, we were talking about the various programs, the capacity, in addition, all of the physical and sporting activities you have. So tell us a little bit more about some of your summer programs.
So during the summer, we have weeks that are dedicated for different activities, a lot of science and sports. And so, you know, those weeks, you can actually register your child for a specific week. Generally, the price is around $100 for that week. So it could be a week where they're learning how to do filmmaking with video cameras. It could be a week that they're actually doing Lego robotics or some other science project. It could be a week that they're doing a lacrosse sports camp or a volleyball sports camp. It could be that they're going fishing. They're learning to fish for a week or hike. You know, so there's just a variety of summer camps. There's something called summer brain drain. Say that real fast three times, you know, and you'll get lost. But it's been shown that when a child is done with school, if they don't keep mentally active, they will actually lose some of what they've learned. And in a socioeconomic depressed area, that can have some real problems because some of these kids are behind the curve anyways to start, and they never can catch back up. So we like to have these programs to help increase and prevent that summer learning loss and help increase their capacity to learn. So when school starts up again, they're right on top of things, and they're able to go and just stay with the program in advance. So, yes, so during the summer, we have a lot of different programs, and those usually will happen like from 8:30 to 12:30. At 12:30, regular club programming takes place. And those summer camps are open to non-club members, too. So they are available.
So the Boys and Girls Club is technically open Monday through Friday, even in the summer.
Correct. We'll tend to follow the school calendar for, you know, if there's a pupil-free day at school, we may be closed to the kids that day and do staff training and cleaning up of the site. We do take a week beginning of summer and after summer to kind of clean and prep and then clean again. But, you know, generally, yes, it's every day, Monday through Friday.
So along with elementary and the middle school children, what are some of the programs that you offer for teens? And why is it so important to get the teens engaged?
I think, you know, the teens have so much potential. And if you just leave them to their own device, they may not reach that potential. They may go for the easy out, and just hanging out with friends or just picking up a device, an electronic device. So we try to have programs available. Again, the Be Great by 8th is a great one. We have an art program just for the teens. So we have two art studios at our clubhouse, downstairs for the elementary kids, upstairs for the teens. We have the Training Teens for Tomorrow. Again, this gives them the opportunity to go out. And we do this, we have a partnership with Oregon Connections. And so we'll get online with Oregon Connections and have video conferencing with our teens and some professional. It could be a professional in healthcare. It could be a plumber. It could be a welder. It could be any of this. And they basically are exposing these teens to what they do and trying to, you know, stir up a little excitement in these guys. And then we actually have a youth advisory council made up of the teens. And so now they're telling us what they want to do. And so we work towards creating programs or activities or a Friday night dance that they want to host and put on, and we'll help them the best that we can to make sure they're involved. Personally, I like the service project stuff because there is nothing that compares with service projects. When you are serving others and you're helping someone who may be less fortunate even, I mean, somehow it makes your own problem seem less significant. You know, and it's amazing to see the changes that can occur in a child when they serve.
So, Brian, do any of the older teens mentor the younger teens?
Yes, they do. In fact, we have some teens that want to help out with Junior Club. So we limit on that, and we want to make sure we're trying to make sure the kids are taken care of and all that. But yes, there are opportunities for the teens to mentor other kids. And again, that's part of the Teen Advisory Council that we have, the Youth Advisory Council. So where are the opportunities? And another thing we do in our sports leagues, we will actually pay some of the teens to be officials at
Fabulous.
Our events.
So, Brian, if people want to volunteer or they want to get their kiddos registered to be a part of the Boys and Girls Club, do you have a website? Where can folks get information?
Well, a couple ways. You can call us at 541-440-9505. Our offices are open usually from 8 to 5:30 every day, Monday through Friday. You can also go to our website at www.bgcuv.org.
And say the number and the website one more time.
That number again, 541-440-9505. Call now. Or our website. That's www.bgcuv.org. Sign up today.
All right. Terrific. Well, Brian, I'll come back and we'll wrap up later, but I'm going to talk to Marion just a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. I want to hear this, too.
So, Marion, we've known you all these years as Katowski, so you're now Marion Pearson.
I am, yes.
So, again, your role in the community, just to refresh folks, because you've been on the radio, you've been on TV, so tell us what you do.
I am the Violence Prevention Specialist for the Up to Us Now Child Abuse Prevention Coalition. I am also the coordinator for the Douglas County Human Trafficking Task Force and for Mercy Foundation.
Terrific. And Marion, you've been doing this now for 9 years?
Yes, absolutely. I started with the coalition in 2011. We formed the formal Douglas County Human Trafficking Task Force in 2015.
So this weekend, the Oregon Department of Justice released information that talked about statistics of human trafficking in Oregon. And what I'd like for you to do is to clarify, quantify, and provide some of those stats and put them in a realistic perspective of not just the state of Oregon, but of Douglas County.
Sure, I'd like to do that. So, yes, the Department of Justice out of Portland did put out some statistics on identified victims of trafficking throughout 10 of the 13 task forces, I guess we're really reporting this. Those 13 task forces actually cover 18 different counties within Douglas County, or not Douglas, I'm sorry, within Oregon, Douglas County being one of them. So the statistics that they're reporting out may actually be victims who've been identified who have had court cases with law enforcement involvement, but more likely these are victims who've been identified through social service agencies and other support services through increased and much better screening processes. And that's been the case for Douglas County. So Douglas County reported out 16 identified victims for 2019. We know that that does not represent every single trafficking victim or survivor within our community. Those are the ones that have been identified by our social service partners throughout Douglas. We have had no prosecutions at this time. That's not because our district attorneys don't want to prosecute. It's more likely due to our victims and survivors not requesting any sort of law enforcement involvement.
So, again, define human trafficking, what that means. So, because I think folks get... I'm not sure everyone totally understands what human trafficking is.
Sure. So there is a very long definition of it, but let me give you the short version. It is the exploitation, so the transport, the sale, forced labor of another person through the means of force, fraud, and coercion for some sort of personal gain of the trafficker. And that personal gain can be money. But it can also be substances, some form of a drug. It can be shelter, it can be food, it can be clothing, whatever is of importance to the particular exploiter.
Okay. I think we have to go to this last break, but I want to come back and revisit some of these stats
sure.
that you're sharing with us. We have to take our last break of the day, so stay tuned. You've been listening to Talking Health on Talk Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for joining us today. And if you're just coming in on this last segment of the show, we're talking with Marion Pearson, who is the human trafficking coordinator for Douglas County. And she's sharing with us a article that was released over the weekend on statistics of human trafficking in Oregon. And so we're going to close with her, and then I will also ask Brian Lake, who we've been talking to of the Boys and Girls Club, for a last few insights about the club. But Marion, how many counties in Oregon have task forces?
There's actually 13 task forces across Oregon. The majority of those are up and down the I-5 and counties that touch the I-5. However, of those 13, there are 18 counties that are covered. So there's several counties, task forces that are covering in maybe a neighboring county.
And refresh our memories, Douglas County was approached by the Department of Justice, correct?
We were approached by the Department of Justice. You know, we had a task force formed before it really became an initiative for the Department of Justice, and they really used a lot of what we were doing here in Douglas County as a model for other task forces, and then really ran with it and have established these other ones across Oregon.
So I want you to reiterate it again. It's not that there are few prosecutions. Please define what that really means here in Douglas County.
Okay. So the number of prosecutions for human trafficking in Douglas County and other rural areas such as ours are either very, very few or none at all. And it has nothing to do with district attorneys or prosecutors wanting to press those charges. It is more of a matter of victims and survivors not wishing to have law enforcement involvement. And, you know, as a response team, we're really good with that. We're okay that victims don't want law enforcement.
So January is being designated as Human Trafficking Prevention and Awareness Month. Name the many things that you've got going so folks, if they can attend a presentation, they can get there.
Absolutely. So we always have awareness that's going on over social media. We do have a Facebook page, Douglas County Human Trafficking Task Force. That's a very active page with tons of followers. So general information and state and local information can be found there. However, if our community wanted to attend a community event, we actually do have one planned for January 23rd from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. At the Winston Community Center. This particular event is our Teens Trafficking and Online Predators event, specific information for teens and the recruiting of teens and those that are younger. as well as some case reviews from our partners from the Myrtle Creek Police Department with Detective Kevin Taggart.
If you haven't been to one, I can tell you it's very powerful. I went to the one at Phoenix School. I recommend it for teens ages 12 and up and with parents because it's some great information. Marion, any last statement you want to make about human trafficking here in Douglas County?
The one last statement I would like to make is despite the fact that we've only got 16 identified victims within our community, that we do know that there is more out there, and we just want to let everyone know we will provide the education and the training, we will provide the screening tools, and we do also provide really terrific resources throughout our county for anybody that needs additional support services.
Okay, great. Brian, I want to thank you for being on the show today. Is there one last comment that you would like folks to know about the Boys and Girls Club?
I'm just thinking I want to hire Marion to come work at the club. I could certainly use her to make sure our kids are safe.
Oh, thank you, Brian.
And teach that message, you know. So, no, I'm grateful. If anyone needs more information, please come by the club. And like I said, take a tour of the club. You'll be amazed at the facility and what we offer.
Terrific. Well, I want to thank you both for coming today, Marion, for this last minute. I appreciate you stepping in today.
Thank you.
Brian, it's been a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
I don't know what to say, Sarah. It's a mystery guest. So you'll have to join us next week and find out who the mystery guest is, because I don't even know either. But if you got any ideas for the next show, you can always give Kathleen and Sarah an email at mercycommunityrelations@chiwest.com, or they love Facebook messages. So reach out to them on Facebook. Old Sarah's always answering those messages. Remember, Talking Health is brought to you by CHI Mercy Health. Please to sponsor Talking Health here on Local Talk at 4 on 1240 KQEN. And on behalf of Mercy Medical Center, please, please remember to be kind to one another, eat healthy, exercise when you can, and have a happy, healthy week.
The preceding program was paid for by CHI Mercy Health Mercy Medical Center. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.